inside of this this game of money is freedom. Freedom. Now, there was a time and a place, and it may still exist today, where being a white male gave you privilege over, say, a female, or a black male, or an Hispanic male, and that may be, I don't know. We've obviously come a lot further. But I know this. I know money is the great equalizer. Money's the great equalizer. It's the tool. It's like the literal key to freedom is money. That's why when I hear people say, well, you know, money's not the most important thing. It's like, what are you talking about, man? What are we talking about here? Of course, it's not over your, you know, the three to five people around you that you would trade everything for to save their life. Can we just take that off the table when we have these kind of conversations? You know, it makes it hard to have a conversation when it's people, you know. People will use that extreme, but then, you know, I make this extreme case that you need to have a sacred account. And the sacred account, you need to be willing to die. Like, it needs to be like that. I've called it a financial jihad. Guys in ISIS, they're a little bit serious about that cause. Like, crazy people are more serious about their cause than you are to building your wealth, to securing your freedom. So we go through life half-assed, paying attention, not knowing what's going on. Can't explain how our retirement account works. I mean, holy shit, imagine if you had to spend 2 hours reading it. I know that's being facetious and it's kind of being an asshole. I get that. But that's on purpose. My goal. That's the goal. Bam, wake up, man. See, there's all kinds of motivational speakers for fitness, for sales. Look at Grant Cardone, Gary Vaynerchuk. And in every field, in every category, in every idea of interest, there's someone in there who's the great motivator. Now, most of the great motivators in the space of finance, of telling individuals to take control of their personal finance, we have angels, Dave Ramsey. Now, I think Dave Ramsey is one of the good people. I disagree with Dave Ramsey on multiple things. But he's sent from heaven, dude. He's got more people out of debt than anyone. So if we disagree, that's okay. Like, Dave's all right, right? But here's what Dave reminds me of every day. Keep control of that leverage. Keep control of that leverage. Because there's some people that have you borrow your brains out. And we saw an entire nation of people blow out in 2008. And some of those people are doing it again. It's been just long enough for some of them to get rich again. And they're going to blow out again. This is the guy who wants to borrow money to do the down payment on investment property. Borrow, borrow, borrow. Borrowing some shit, buying some shit you don't even deserve. You haven't even earned the money. You haven't even taken the first step of make money, save money. You want to go straight to invest money. Bypassing. And then you wonder why you get bitch slapped. You wonder why when the economy turns, and it always does, in my ebook, it's completely free, you know that. In the ebook, what do I talk about? The business cycle. It's one of those little side definitions that bore the fuck out of you. Like compound interest, amortized mortgage, five-year ARM, credited investor. These terms that you hear thrown around. But inside of all of those terms is this expertise of like learning the language of money. Money has its own language. There's loans. There's mortgages. ARMs. Interest. coupon payments, dividends, PE ratios, cash flow, balance sheets. Oh my. Just like there's tight ends, running backs, front linemen, line coach, multiple plays. They're just things, man. There's nothing about this shit that's complicated. The simplest of men can build massive wealth investing by following simple processes over and over and over and over. Simple people. Like Ronald Reed. I posted on this about this. I did a little video about Ronald Reed. Amassed a stock portfolio of $8 million. $8 million working as a janitor. Died with $8 million. The kid posted, what an idiot, he should have spent some of it. And that's why you don't have any, dumbass. And that's why you don't have any. But his point may be true. You know. It's one thing you hate about comments. You never quite understand the context of the comment. Sometimes it's hard to see if people are joking. Like that guy could be completely in agreement with me. And says that, you know, and he's like being facetious. This is the problem with comments. How do you read? It's hard to read humor at times. It's hard to read facetiousness. It's hard to read, you know, just playing around. I'm just fucking with you, right? It's just a joke. Like if you're around me, I might fucking look out, dumbass. That'd be very common. That's not me trying to be mean. As a matter of fact, if I picked on you, if I called you names, if I said something, probably means I like you. If I don't say anything, if I ignore you, that means I don't really like you. So therefore, I ignore you. It's hard to read that in text. I've said things joking with people and it pisses them off. I've said things joking with Grant Cardone and they got mad at me. I've said things with a lot of people and it was literally a joke, like guys busting balls. You can't do that on the internet nowadays. We don't even want critique. Immediately call them trolls. But you have to understand it's the critique in life. It's the people telling you, hey, that often have the most valuable advice. Like, are you coachable? Do you put yourself in a position where you can be coached? Can you even receive information if given? Some people can't. You got people out there. You got people that are 23 years old. They got it all figured out, man. They understand finance. They understand how to do rental properties. I mean, they've been doing it for a year and a half. You see kids going American Idol, 16 years old, start crying. They're not getting picked. And they say, you don't understand. I've been doing this my whole life. What, all 4 years? Like, come on. This game, this thing of building wealth takes time. And right now, when I look back on the 39-year-old me, I think, what an idiot. God, he was dumb. I made my first million at 36 years old, and I was such an idiot. Like, when I look back now on me with the wisdom I have and the things I know and the foresight and the shit that I've lived through and the troubles I've had and the things that I've done and the things that I wasted money on, when I look back at just 10 years ago, I think, oh, my God, what a dumbass. I did this wrong, this wrong, this wrong. I hope you do the playback. Do you go back and watch the game? Because in order to prove from the game, you got to go back and watch the game. Why did you buy that? That was really dumb. And this is what happened. And you confront the thinking. I began to do this. I would document trades. Like about a year, year and a half ago, I began to post on Instagram, hey, I'm buying shares in Starbucks. Buying shares in Starbucks. And I'd post the logo and I'd do a little write-up, say why I'm doing it. Stock's up big. Do you think the people around me care? I mean, well, let's start with why should they care what I say? Like, you just can't buy shit because strange people on Instagram post about it. But the Bible says you entertain strangers unaware. That sometimes we go to God and pray, Lord, if you could just help me out here. And then he sends help and you're too busy to see it. Because see, God often doesn't send money. He sends ideas. He sends paths. He opens doors. He's not going to deposit, direct deposit into your checking account. It ain't coming from PayPal, dude. It ain't coming from PayPal. The shit's all around you in the money flow. And so people drive around saying, well, you know, I don't know how to invest. I don't know what to put money in. I don't know. As they pass business after business after business after business after business that pays money, income, coupon payments, interest, dividends to their shareholders, and they just drive by every day. I don't know what to invest in. I don't know what to invest in. Every day eating General Mills products. Every day using Procter & Gamble stuff. Every fucking day going to McDonald's. Driving around in a Ford, smoking Altria cigarettes. How could I ever know what to invest in? How could I possibly know? And people sit and stir and live and soak and fucking breathe in the money flow and can't feel it, can't sense it, don't see it, transacting all around them, all through the fucking air. Email, wires, PayPal, Venmo, checks, transfers, people buying, selling, houses, in and out. Money's just going everywhere. And people, I don't even know where to start. I mean, how could I even get started? This is your friends, man. This is your family. This is your 55-year-old broke father. You want to know the worst? I met a guy the other day, 32 years old. He's been working for McDonald's for 9 years. Store manager, like assistant manager, he's not the real manager. Because as I'm talking to him, I say, you call the shots here or what? And he said, well, basically he's this, the assistant manager. But they work him like a manager. Because the manager might be managing 2 or 3 stores. I have a couple dudes like him. Now, in my day, they'd call that the manager. But anyway, I said, how many shares do you own? He doesn't own any shares. No shares. He works at McDonald's for 9 years. I don't know, stock's gone from what? $50 to over $200. It pays, at one time, it was paying a 4% dividend yield. 4%. I mean, how could you possibly have known to invest in that? I mean, that's like secret information. Like there's no way that a manager could have known. I mean, that they're writing his check and that it's packed with people and that maybe the stock's under pressure and you don't think they're sending him letters and newsletters, but he's not in the money flow at all. He's not tapped in at all. And so he works there, and you work at the Gap. Oh, and the Gap pays a 5% dividend yield. You work at Ford, and you don't own any shares. This is stupid on steroids that honestly I can't even get in my mind. I can't even get it because I've met so many people, and whenever they tell me they work at one of these major corporations, I always ask them, do you have any shares? Now, one time, a gentleman who lived near me, he worked for 31 years for AT&T. Now, AT&T pays a big dividend. I've owned shares for a long time, over a decade. And he said, yeah. He had $320,000 in shares. He had just been putting in 5% of his pay went into AT&T stock, and the other 5% went into the stock market. He did that for 31 years. He had about $300,000+ in AT&T stock. Of course, that fascinated me and told him I own shares, talked about stocks. Now, the funny thing is he didn't know Jack Bean about stocks. He didn't know anything about the markets. He just followed a system that his company put in place for him, and he's built some wealth. Good. And then they sold their AT&T shares, remodeled the house, fix up things, bought the wife a new car. It's his new wife. Just consumed it, man. Just consumed
a passive income stream, $300,000 piece of wealth that could have been producing $20,000, $30,000 a year in passive cash flow forever till he died. And then when he died, she could have kept it. And then when she died, they could have passed it to family. And sometimes they could have added to it or maybe not taken the money out and compounded it. Instead, they consumed it. I mean, that's his right, right? He saved it for him. Why not? But it was his lack of understanding the money flow. I don't think he actually knew that he could do that or felt safe doing that after all these times. Now imagine $300,000 in the hands of someone who's been studying, who's been reading, who's been taking courses, who's been learning this idea of the money game. What does he do with that? That becomes a million. The money game. Ronald Reed was a janitor, and when he died, he had $8 million in the stock market. My neighbor worked for AT&T for 31 years. He had a lot less, but he still had money. From what? They invested. Now imagine if they read my information, they kicked the investing up about 7 times and they invest to retire next decade. Like, you're retiring at 34. You're retiring at 44. And when you're 70, you see all the old people still working, door greeters at Walmart, all these different jobs. You see old people because they don't have any money. They don't have any money. They don't have enough money. So they go work. You understand, if that guy would have spent his time, a portion of his time, just skilling up, just learning the language of money, just studying how money works, how dividend stocks work, how real estate works, how investing in REITs work, any number of owning a business or being an entrepreneur, any other number of these things where you put money to work to make money. When you're 60, that's a hell of a lot easier than loading trucks. When you're 70, it's a lot easier to do that from home. Like, you realize I can do that with my mind, sitting at the house. I can allocate money into an investment that gives me cash flow, and I don't have to work at Walmart. I get money because of what I did with my mind. But you gotta work the mind. And people get it out of balance. They do the work, they're hard workers, they save the money, but they don't know what the fuck they're investing in. So they get eaten with fees and 401k fees and all this. What should have been $5 million is $1 million. And a million's good? Congratulations. Been three if you'd have known and understood the money flow. It'd have been three if you paid fucking attention and studied. It'd have been a lot more. If you'd have been proactive and conscious of what you were doing and actively sought to invest. And you managed your investments. Now imagine you go a step further and you don't have a 401k and you're like me. And you live super frugal on, like, you save 40% of your income to invest. And in 5 or 6 months you have enough money and you put a down payment on a house. And then the rest of the month you cash flow repairing it. Then you go back to saving, you save up another one and you buy a house. And you do this shit aggressively. House after house after house after house after house. Oh, and you're finding stocks. Stocks come on sale because you're watching the markets. You understand the language of money. You're keeping up with it. Kind of like keeping up with the Kardashians, except fucking stocks. It's not hard. Just like football, except it's stocks. It's the markets. It's interest rates. It's what's going on around you. And you begin to play that game with your phone. And you take fucking control of your money. Like, you're in control. It's yours. It's yours. Fuck human resources. It's yours. It's not your fund managers. It's not your fucking mothers. It's not your uncles. It's your money. You are personally responsible for it. And if you pay high fees, good. You're stupid. You should. Now, is that harsh?
No, I want you not to pay high fees. So could I get your attention, please? Could you become active in your own fucking management of your own money to building wealth for you, your family, and your future? For next month! For tomorrow! Today! Today. Like, you take control of that shit right now. And you stop thinking like a child. And you think like a person fucking running something. You're running your money. And the less money you have, the more you need to be on this game. See, if you don't have much money, the only way for you to get out is the money game. You know how I got out of that? One house at a time. Saving $1,000 at a time. Over and over, purchase. Over and over, purchase. Over and over, purchase. Discipline. Discipline. Sacred money. Sorry, can't have it. Sorry, not going on that trip. It's got to be cheaper. We got a house. Sorry, can't do that. I'm buying the property. I love to, but I just bought a water heater. Or not do that. Fuck it. Be 65 looking for a job and chuck it up that you like to get out. Do that plan. Do what your parents are doing. That looks good. Your dad looks real happy. Woo, mom's having a good time. You can do that path. And that's available to all of you right now. Just be fucking, just don't pay attention. Just do what everyone around you does. That's real hard. Oh, I want that. Where do I sign? Oh, zero interest? Look how smart I am. Make your payments. Don't only give away the money you have right now. Give away the money you're going to make in the future. Do that. Do that. Go, you know what? I don't want this money in 5 years. Fuck it. Here. And sign for it and give it to other people. Give it all to them. Don't save a penny. And then guess what? When you're old and fucking broke, guess what then? You can tell everyone, well, I didn't understand that. Like, I would have had to read. I would have had to read that. How am I supposed to read and comprehend something, Gerald? That's not possible in 50 fucking years. That's not possible for me to do that. And we all hear the absurdity in that, me being an asshole. But the point, like, you get it, right? This is a decision you make, just like getting up and go to the gym. Except this shit is harder. You know how many broke people go to the gym? You know how many vegans are broke? You know how many? A lot. A lot. Most of them. Most of your friends you work out with, most of the people you're in college with, most of the people around you are completely full of shit and they have no money. They have that car because they can make payments. And so they got to get up and go to a job they don't necessarily like. They can't quit because they've already obligated all of their money away because they don't want their money. They choose lifestyle over money. That's it. Because for a fucking moment, it gives you the sense that you've accomplished something. But you didn't. You just enslaved yourself. You cut off options and limitations, and now you have no chance of getting wealthy. That's what happened. And that's why I say you have to fix the foundation first. Shouldn't invest in shit when you owe people. You have $5,000 sitting on a credit card. Stop talking to me about stocks and pay off the debt. But that's what makes it hard. Because as human beings, we'd rather live in this world where it's all fake. The money ain't real, the wealth ain't real. You realize, right, if you owe $1 million and you have $1,200,000 and your friend owes no one and he's got $200, he's richer than you.